To begin with, Leroy, what were you doing before you went into the service?
Well, at the time, the spring of 55, I got out of my freshman year of high school at St. Laure Mission School in Ashland. And that summer, at the age of 16, I really wasn't doing anything as far as working or anything was concerned up until July 11th, which was my 17th birthday. And I was working for my cousin Bill Watts off and on in the Crow Mercantile up until August, the third day of the Billings Fair, when I and a bunch of my friends, which were Adam Singer, Larry Putterweasel, Morris Big Lake, and Joseph Bearcrane. We was all at the fair, and the night of the second day of rodeo, we was out there by the, so we, even though we wasn't supposed to, we was goofing around with the bucking horses there at the fairgrounds in Billings. All night long until morning. Of course, we was drinking back then and still all underage, but I don't know how we managed to get the alcohol. I kind of forgot now. We managed to get some beer and stuff, and we was all feeling pretty good when daybreak come around, and we just stayed up and through the morning. And sometime during the morning, well, Joseph Bearcrane got the idea that we'd enlist, so we was all kind of daring each other, you know, if you're a man, I'm a man too, that kind of type of statement. So we all went to the recruiting office, which was located above the post office in downtown Billings at that time. And so all of us enlisted in different branches of service, some Air Force, some enlisted in the Navy and Army and whatnot. And after all of us got through with taking our examination, well, there was only two of us that passed a written exam, and that was Adam and me. So Adam was 18 at the time, I think, and he didn't have to have anyone to sign his papers. So since I was 17, they said I had to have my parents' signatures. So they was in Crow, so I don't know what gave me the idea of lying to the recruiting officer, but I told him my parents was at the campgrounds and there was a foot. So they gave me my enlistment papers for them to sign. So we, after Adam got through and they gave me my papers, we was supposedly to take him to the fairgrounds to have my parents sign him, but some, I forgot, after we got out of there, someone signed my mom's name and someone signed my dad's name. Some of the boys, and after a while we brought them back, and that's how I managed to get in the service. Actually, we forged my mom and dad's name, you know. And I thought that it'd be maybe a while before they even bothered to take us. But that same afternoon, well, boarded I and your uncle Adam on a bus and sent us to Butte for our physical and stuff up there, you know. So after we got to Butte, well, we got our physical and tests up there. We got inducted, but from there they took your uncle Adam right on and they sent me back home. And they said that they'd let me know when my orders, they'd give me my orders later on. So after I got home, well, I kept my mouth shut about me enlisting, you know, to my parents. I never said nothing, no more about it. Matter of fact, I kind of forgot about me enlisting until the first day of the Crow Fair, you know. First day of Crow Fair rolled around, while that recruiting sergeant come to the barns, and I was leading my Uncle Jim Big Shoulder's horses, getting ready for the first race. One of his horses was running in the first race, and that recruiting sergeant said he's looking for Leroy White, so someone told him there he is leading that horse, so he come over and he gave me my orders to report to Fort Carson, Colorado, that I was supposed to be aboard the bus that left that afternoon, which there was a bus that left about 4 something, I think, going south at that time, back in the 50s. So right away, well, none of my parents or none of my relatives knew about it. So right away, well, my big brother Ernest Holes, he said, "Bach, you know," he said, "you should have never did that. You should have continued your education." But anyway, right away they got my clan uncles and aunts and fed them for me in our Crow tradition, you know, way. And of course, my dad, Frank White, he always had alcohol around the house, so naturally I went and told him what I did, and I asked him if he had any whiskey, and he said yeah. So I started drinking, you know, whiskey, you know, and by the time 4 o'clock rolled around, I barely got on the bus to go to leave for Fort Carson, Colorado Springs. But processed after I got to Colorado Springs and Fort Carson. Well, that's where I processed. I got my uniform and processed out of there. I served probably about a week. And I also ran into Dan Half while I was there. But from there, well, after I got processed and everything, and then they shipped me on to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri to take my first aid in Fort Leonard Wood.
Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri?
Yeah. Back then they called it Little Korea.
Missouri. That was basic training.
Yes, first aid.
Okay.
And
was it just a regular basic training, just like everybody?
Yeah, infantry, you know.
Basic combat, infantry,
yeah,
training. Okay.
Combat infantry training, I think that basic training, you know.
And you marched and shot and did all that stuff like
that. And I was for 8 weeks, and then when I completed my first 8 weeks, well, back then everybody else got a leave, you know, but my whole battalion, I was in a 267th Field Artillery Battalion at the time
at Fort Leonard Wood.
Yeah, and then they
267?
Yeah, 267th Field Artillery Battalion.
Field Artillery Battalion, okay.
And instead of giving us our leave after the first 8 weeks, well, they gyroscoped a whole bunch of us to Fort Steele, Oklahoma, for advanced field artillery training in the 155 Hauser, self-propelled.
To Fort Sill?
Yes.
The old 155?
Mm-hmm.
The howitzer?
Hauser, self-propelled.
Oh, the old self-propelled one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So okay. Then...
How long were you there, Fort Sill?
So, another my second 8 weeks, which I took, I was trained as a wireman.
Well, trained as a wireman?
Yeah, from outpost to, you know, to the other, you know.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
And I completed my second 8 weeks at Fort Sill. And after completion of my second 8 weeks, well, they gyroscoped the whole battalion to Germany. So they give us a 30 days delay en route at that time from Fort Sill to Fort Dix, New Jersey.
You got 30 days delay en route.
To Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Old Fort Dix.
Yeah. Again, that was kind of a debarkation, embarkation center in Fort Dix, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about the time the East and West Berlin, that the crisis was going on, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where they sent us to. I shipped out of, I processed out of Fort Dix, and we sailed out of Brooklyn Navy Yards.
Oh, they sent you by boat?
Yes, back then.
Brooklyn Navy Yards.
Brooklyn Navy Yards.
Oh, okay. How long did it take you to go over?
11 days.
11 days en route, huh? Where did you land at?
Bremerhaven, Germany.
Bremerhaven?
Yeah, that's the port, that old submarine.
The old submarine base.
Uh-huh. Hitler's.
So you went directly to the Baltic, and then, oh, okay.
And,
all right, but you were still in a 267.
All the way through.
Tour. All the way through, okay.
So from there,
so you were in a 267. Were there any other Indians in your outfit?
There was four of us. In the same company and doing the same thing.
As wireman?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
One was a Leonard Eagle pipe from White River, South Dakota. Earl Bordo, he's also from there. And then there was
Bordo. Yourself, and who's the other one?
And then Willard Sweet Medicine from Bernie.
Sweet Medicine. Another Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Where were you stationed when you got to Germany?
Bremerhaven.
The same place?
No, that's let me see. It was a little, concern out of Schillenstadt, Germany. I don't know how you spell it, but Schillenstadt was, that's what, it was nothing but artillery there.
West Germany.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. An artillery base, huh?
Yes.
Artillery base, okay.
So.
What battery were you with?
Headquarters and headquarters battery.
Oh, headquarters and headquarters battery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were 155 South Propel Howitzer, you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All the way through, they had two guns in that, in the headquarters, headquarters company, and the others had four.
Okay, what'd you do as a waterman?
You know, from your outpost to the observers, to the outpost, to
you
back to the gun, line. Yeah.
Oh, okay, you laid the phone line.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's when they still had all that wire you had to.
Those old powered,
yeah.
Sound-powered phones? Okay. To the batteries and the outpost, or just to the outpost?
To the outpost.
You didn't lay to the batteries inside?
Yeah, from the part of us to the outpost, from the observers to the outpost, to the guns, you know,
okay.
Right to the
forward observers.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's what I did.
Okay.
Other than KP, I pulled a lot of KP because shit, I drunk about half, about every day, you know.
How did you like Germany?
I liked it pretty darn good, you know. Even though it was an old country, I liked it. I seem to. I liked the country besides the people that I met there, you know.
Mm.
And I got along real good.
Where did you usually go in Germany?
Well, I didn't go too far from the concern. They call them concerns over there. They didn't call them base, you know.
Mm-hmm. Concerns, yeah.
And that little town outside of, right there around Schillenstadt, I never went too far because it was easy. You know, I drank a lot, just like I say, I was usually on two-week restriction, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of my alcohol problem. I had an alcohol problem real bad.
Okay.
And finally, it got to the point where I wasn't able to do nothing. That's how bad my alcohol was, and I was drunk all the time. And
did you go to Berlin or any other place?
Nope.
You were near?
Nope.
Just stayed right on the Schillenstadt. Okay, any interesting experiences while you were near or in Germany?
Not really, other than seeing a different nationality of people and how they lived, you know. And about that time, they were still, what fascinated me about more than anything was how the people was rebuilding their country back up after the war, you know, like buildings and the roads, you know, and how hard they worked, you know.
Yeah.
It seemed like their life was devoted on mostly on work, you know. I never seen anybody work so hard in all my life. I didn't, you know, even. Maybe if I went to some of the bigger places and seen, you know, but everybody was still repairing them, like the buildings that was bombed, you know, and stuff like that. And that was only 10 years after the war, they were still doing a lot of repairing, you know.
Did the Germans know you were Nugent?
You know, some of them, but some of them wouldn't believe me. Them niggers, they claimed to be American Indians at that time, and there was a lot of conflict between, but over that, you know.
Mm.
Because us four guys would go, you know, to one of them little places, them little bars they had over there.
Mm.
And this one bar maid, she asked what nationality I was, and I told her American Indian. And she said, "You ain't no American Indian." She said, "Them are the American Indians over there." She pointed at the colored guy. And boy, that started a fight right there. And actually, back then, you know, I was young, and I loved that. It was right down my alley, you know. And they said we Spanish, you know, and that's what she said. And I said, "I don't know Spanish, American Indians." But I wasn't over there too long. Let me see, December of 56. To October of 56 is when they sent me home on kind of my problem of alcohol.
Okay, you return home. Returned U.S. October
56,
huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, where did they send you when you returned home?
For Fort Dix.
Back to Fort Dix?
That's where I got discharged, back to Brooklyn Navy Yards. And
they send you by ship?
Yes, back. It took us 9 days to get back, 11 days to get there and 9 days to get back.
Okay, you were separated there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What day were you separated?
I don't remember.
Okay, but it was in October 56, huh?
It was in October. I remember getting here.
What did you do after the service?
I worked on various ranches for a while here. And then I went back to Oklahoma. Well, I wasn't around here too long because I went back to Oklahoma in 57. Matter of fact, it was 57, January of 57. And I went back down to Oklahoma. I got acquainted while I was down there in training. Mm. And I got married down there.
Oh, married, okay.
Married an old girl I met down there, and you know, I was there 57, 58, 59, come back home in 60. And then after I got home, I got separated from her and I got home and wound up with another woman here and worked on ranches, and then I worked at the Yellowtail when I was building it. From there I worked for the Little Horn Land and Livestock Company in Wyola. I was a foreman up there for a number of years until about 73, I think. From 73, I worked at Sarpy for a while. And then in 75, I started working for Marvin Inchbinger out of Hardin as farm laborer. And then 78 rolled around, and I went to Alcohol Treatment Center. From there, I worked under the CETA program they had there after my treatment as a alcoholism counselor's trainee. And in Sheridan, Wyoming, that was, they called it, Intertribal Alcoholism Program. It was ITAC then.
Oh yeah, ITAC.
ITATC, I think they call it.
Yeah, now it's Thunder Trail.
Yeah. Okay. So from there, after my training there, I went to work at Fort Peck. Fort Peck Alcoholism Treatment Center. It's now called Spotted Bull Treatment Center, but under Melvin Eagleman until 82. I come home and went to work for the Crow Detox Program under Darlene Morning. From there, there was an opening in Sheridan, and I went to work in Sheridan again from 83 to 84. 84, Rudolph King got director changed hands about that time, and then I come back to the Crow Detox Program and work for Archie Bearground. Until 86. And from there, I was self-employed by painting, and then I worked for the Sagebrush out here. And on that September 1st, I went to work here.
September 1st of?
86, I think.
86? And you've been in maintenance ever since?
Yeah.
LBHC. Okay. Let's see, 11. You were 16 when, 17 when you were in the Army. How were you treated by the other guys in your outfit?
I was treated, pretty good. Pretty capable of taking care of myself, you know. Mm-hmm. And they treated me good, you know. In return, I, you know, treated them likewise, you know. But that was about the first time I was ever off the reservation, you know. It was.
Yeah.
It was the first time I was ever off the reservation. And, you know, that was quite an experience for me, you know, to get out there and see what the rest of the world looked like, you know, and how they lived, you know.
Did you feel prejudice at any level? No one harassed you because you
Not didn't. Until I got to Germany, and that's one of them colors claimed that there was American Indians. That was about the only time that I really ever kind of looked down upon any other different race, you know, for that simple reason that they claimed to be American Indians, you know, but other than that, well, you know.
Did you ever use the Crow language in any way in the service? Did the Army ask you to use?
No, not really, you know.
Okay. How do you think the military affected your life, you know, having been in the service?
You know, I'm sorry. I could have got a lot out of it at the time, I think, you know. If it wasn't for my alcoholism, you know,
okay.
I could have retired a long time ago, you know. But, you know, at the time I didn't know. I was just, I'd say, a kid and didn't realize, you know, what I was missing out on, you know.
Okay, that's all I've got, unless you got anything else.
Oh, that's it.
Okay, thanks.